You got your Bible tonight. We'll try to preach in Isaiah 53. I've been trying to pray and study and get the mind of God, and I got a message I've preached before, and I've not preached it here before, but you've sung songs here before that I've heard over and over, even if I did preach it here before. But we'll try to preach tonight, Isaiah 53. When you find it, say amen. Appreciate the opportunity to be able to preach tonight. Appreciate the call of God. Appreciate the love of God. Appreciate His sacrifice, the love. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Isaiah 53, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as the root of the dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he had bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. He's carried your sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded. We've heard these scriptures over and over in the house of God. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed, not were. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as the lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from the prison, from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? That'd be good right there to preach on that. On who shall declare his generation. But that's not what I'm preaching tonight. For he was cut off from out of the land of the living. For the transgression of our people he was stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence. You hear that? He had done no violence. Neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. And he hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. That's all my reading. God, I ask tonight for the tongue of the learned. I ask, God, for your spirit, God, to speak, God, give me the words to say. God, let your word, we know, God, it will not return void. Let it find a resting place tonight. Let some heart realize, God, the love you have for them, God, and the grace, the price that was paid upon that old rugged cross. We thank you and we praise you. Your mighty name we pray. I want to preach tonight on just a simple thought on wounded for me. They say in England there was a war went on, and been many wars, but this war there was a lot of casualties and a lot of men that were hurt horribly. And the King of England, there was a little hospital in his little territory. And he said to himself, he said, I want to pay tribute to these men that have done such mighty acts of heroism. I want to go to this hospital and meet these men that have, after the war is over, he said, I want to go meet these veterans and meet these men and extend my gratitude to them for what work they have done and their labor. And went to this hospital, and it was a small hospital, and the guy that was leading them through, the guide said, I've got 41 soldiers in this hospital. And he said, all 41 of them are hurt, and they're veterans, and they're in bad shape. And the king says, I must, as a duty in my heart, pay tribute to these men. And as he went, he said, take me to these men. So he went to this room, and all these men were there, and he said, all right, and said, he got up, and he began to talk, and he told him, he said, I appreciate your sacrifice. He said, I appreciate your labor. I appreciate you standing for your country. I appreciate all that you've done. And he looked at the men, and some of them had lost limbs. Some of them had lost their vision. Some of them weren't able to walk. And they were all in this ward. And he told him, he said, I appreciate this, what you have done. But out of these 41, he began to count, and he said, there's only 37 men in this place. And he looked at the guy that took him to the different rooms. He said, where are the other men? And he said, sir, you don't understand. He said, these 37 are bad, but four more are worse than these. And he said, take me to these men also so I can pay tribute to them, so I can tell them thanks. I don't want to leave these men out. So he took him to another room where these men were, supposedly the four other men. And as he got in this room, he looked around and he seen three, and he said, sir, he said, there's only three here. And he said, but I want to pay tribute to these three. And he said, all right. He said, pay tribute to them and tell them. And he began to walk over to their bedside. They weren't able to get up and walk around. They'd lost limbs. There was in horrible shape as a war casualty. And he began to tell them, I appreciate your service. I appreciate all you've done. I appreciate all your labors. And he began to tell them that. And he turned to the man. He said, all right. He said, now that I've got all these, he said, but where is that? He said, if you told me right, he said, he was 41. He said, I gave honor to 40 of them. He said, where's the other man? He said, follow me down the corridor here. He said, there's a special room this man is in that we keep him away from the other rooms and other men. He said, he's in such a horrible shape. And the king said, take me to that room. I must tell him thanks for his sacrifice. I must tell him I appreciate your labor. No matter what shape he's in, he said, this is my duty. I feel as a king to tell him thanks. So he went to this room, and as he walked in, Brother Parker, on the bed laid there a shell of a man, and his arms and legs mangled. What there was nothing left of a, it was just a partial body of a what used to be a man. And he walked over to his bedside, and he looked, and there was these body pieces that was gone that never could be replaced again. But he looked down at this man in such horrible shape, and he said, I don't know where to even begin. And he said, the king knelt down beside the man's bed. And he knelt down beside the man's bed and whispered in what used to be an ear there. And he said, sir, you was wounded for me. And that's what I'm going to preach on tonight, on wounded for me. As we read over these scriptures here tonight, and it's talking about our Savior. It's talking about our Master, our Lord. And he was wounded for me. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement, his peace was laid upon, my peace was laid upon him. He was our scapegoat, if you will. It says there were no form or comeliness in verse number 2. There was no beauty that we should desire him. And as I began to study this, I had a hard time studying this, Brother Jonathan, without crying, because I knew what sacrifice. And as I studied over it, it brought back it fresh to me. There was no form or comeliness. There was no beauty that we should desire him. He was as you read through this list of things, he was despised. He was rejected of men. He was a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief. He was smitten of God. And he done all these things because he loved you. And he loved me in such a form and fashion that he was willing to lay down his life. Greater love hath no man than this, that he lay his life down for his friends. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I've got a Savior like this, a Master like this. I didn't always have him. I didn't always have a good master like this. I used to follow a master that treated me horribly, that would not die for me, but he was willing to take my life. But I'm glad the night I got saved, I changed masters that night, and I found a Savior that would love me, and pay the price, ransom me, Brother Bowman. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. And I needed, the song says, I needed someone to take them away. And I'm glad he paid the price. I'm glad for Calvary. It's not Easter yet, but we're close to it. But I'm trying to get you to remember and open up your spiritual vision tonight and realize, greater, this man loves you in such a form and fashion. He was acquainted with grief. He was smitten. He was wounded. We use these scriptures, and a lot of times we'll read over it, and we'll read quickly over it and try to shove it aside. He was wounded and bruised, and by his stripes we are healed. I believe in healing. I believe in that the only way you can be healed, it's not a hocus pocus. It's not a special form, but it's through the blood of Jesus Christ that's been paid for. And it belongs to the church, the healing does. It's because we are children of God. It's because we've been bought with a price. And we are to glorify God in our body and soul and spirit, which belong to him. And I'm glad to know tonight as I stand up here that my name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm glad to know that he paid that full price. He went all the way to Calvary. And he finished it. And he hung his head and he said, "It is finished." He completed the work. And now we can stand and we can behold, we can tell others, what great love God has. God still loves the world. God still loves the church. He still loves his people. We are still the apple of his eye in this last day and hour. Sure, there's wickedness, and it seems like wickedness is prevailing, but God still has a church. God still has a people that he shed his son shed his blood for, and he paid the ultimate sacrifice. And he was wounded for me. He was wounded for you. I'm not just laying this on my table tonight, but this belongs to the church. This belongs to the called out, the separated, the redeemed. He was carried in. He carried the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted. He was in prison, and he was smitten. There's different words that describe the wounds of Christ, and I found there was five different words that described his wound. One was a contused wound, a contusion. And a contusion is caused by a blunt instrument, being hit by a blunt instrument. That's what causes contusion, or by a rod. In Micah 5:1, it says, "Now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops, for he hath laid siege against us. Then shall they smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek." Who was that they were smiting? They were smiting him, the Lamb of God, upon the cheek. And that was the contusion. In Matthew 26:67, it says, Then did they spit on his face, and they buffeted him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands. What was all this for? All this is because he loved you and I in such a degree. That was a contusion. The number two was a lacerated wound. How many ever heard been lacerated? Most of us in here. It's produced by a tearing instrument. And we know what that tearing instrument was. The cat of nine tails. That cat of nine tails was a whip. And at the end of that whip, there was nine strands upon that whip. And at the end of that, they tied rocks. They tied metal, pieces of glass, maybe even fish hooks. That would, as they whipped that whip, it would wrap around the rope, and it would rip him open. It would open up the Lamb of God. Why did he do this for? Because he loves you. This wound, this tearing, this laceration wound was because of this cat of nine tails. He was ripped. In Psalms 129:3, it says, "The plowers plowed upon my back. They made long furrows, trenches upon the Son of God." Why do you do this? Because he loved you. He was wounded for me. He paid my price. He was the scapegoat. And that I could go free. That I didn't have to be a prisoner no more. That the shackles, as he talked about this morning, unshackled, that the shackles now are gone. I'm no longer a prisoner. But I've been redeemed. And here the Lord has paid the price, this lacerated wound. Isaiah 50 and 6 says, I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from him from shame and spitting. They spit upon him. They mocked him. They ridiculed him. They lacerated him. It was not a beautiful sight. As I told you the story about the king that went in and seen these men, it was worse than that. It was worse, more, his vicious was worse more than any man. I've seen some men in bad shape before. I've seen some, my younger brother that passed away, he was in bad shape. Greg, Brother Greg seen him. I never seen nothing like that in my life. But guess what? The Lord was worse than that. This lacerated wound was produced by that tearing instrument. Opened him up. And now he's made accessible unto us. Because they opened him up. In Matthew 27, 26, I know this. This is not one you're going to shout on tonight. I didn't expect that. But I'm trying to get us to realize the love of, oh, the love of God. Matthew 27, 26. Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. John 19 and 1. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. Seemed like they sent him here to there. Having their turn with him. Trying to destroy the Son of God. But he said, they don't take my life from me, but I lay my life down. No man took his life, but he was willing to lay it down. There was not only a lacerating wound or a contused wound, but there was a penetrating wound. Penetrating wound, it was produced by a sharp instrument with a point. They said the crown of thorns was that penetrating wound. They said a crown of thorns in Jerusalem grew sometimes up to 4 inches long. The thorns. And they wrapped and made a crown and placed upon his head. On it. Nailed it on his head. And they mocked him. Hail, King of the Jews! Why'd he do that? Why was all this suffering? Why was all this heartache? Because he loved you. He paid the ultimate price that whosoever will, let him come. Let him drink of the living waters freely. Matthew 27 and 29 says, when they had platted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. Oh, what a Savior. I said, oh, what a Savior is He. What a Master. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege, Brother Greg. Just carried Him everything in prayer. I love my Master. There was not only these other three, but there was a perforating wound. It comes from a perforate, comes from the word, a Latin word, to pierce. Psalms 22 and 16 says, For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. What nail prints? What are these nail prints for? Do you remember what Thomas came and said, unless I touch him, I will not believe. And he got to touch the master. Oh, the love of God. We a lot of times we get tied up on everything in the world. I love the way I feel his love tonight. As I study this out, I preach a lot of messages. I like this message tonight because it's affecting me. The love of God. You see, I'm not trying to tell sad stories. I don't know really what it is to have a father that was raised without a father, but I have a heavenly father. I remember times, and I'll tell you this, we'd have Father's Day around here, and I never had a dad in church, and he left us years ago, and it's probably best. But anyway, the situation. But we'd come around here, and all these other guys, they'd have their dad, and I felt like out of place. But after I got saved, it was a difference. After I got saved, I said, my goodness, I do have a father. I have a heavenly father. And he wrapped his arms around me, and he tells me he loves me, and he shelters me, and he calls me his own. And I'm glad to know that he loves me in such a fashion that he'll keep his eye upon me, and he'll not let me fall and slip. He'll keep me from falling and present me faultless one day as I stand before him. And he's went to prepare a place for me. He said, I go prepare a place that where I am that you may be also. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. And he says, if it was not so, I said, I would have not told you so. I'm glad I have a father that has left me a heavenly inheritance. And he's shown me the way. And as a matter of fact, not only showed me the way, but he said, I am the way and the truth and the light. And he said, all that come before me, and if you come up any other way, you shame me as a thief and a robber. But I'm glad I know the way. I'm glad he has made a way. I'm glad he loved us so much that he didn't keep us in darkness. That he shined forth the light. The light shined in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. This is the truth. The Bible says, buy the truth and sell it not. I don't know about you, but I've got to have the truth. And as I look over and I realize the love of God and what he's done for me, it excites me to know that I've got such a God that's for me, that's on my side, that loves me so much that he'll wake me up in the morning, that loves me so much that he'll keep his hand on me, that he'll put his spirit inside me. Do you have his spirit? Can you raise your hand? Does his spirit bear witness with your spirit that you are a child of God? We're made nigh by the spirit of adoption. I was adopted into his family. You was engrafted in. We that were alienated are now brought nigh. Because of this event, we were excluded. We were outcasts. But God sent his Son in the likeness of sinful men and made a way that we could become joint heirs of Christ. I'm a child of the King. Yes, I am. I know I am. I belong to the Lord. Yes, I do. I know I do. This penetrating room and this perforating room, word, wound. I said it comes from the word pierce. I'm so glad he found me. I'm so glad he loved me. Oh, I was singing it a while ago. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Calvary. I love them old songs. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. No, not. It was for me. He died on Calvary. And that's what I'm trying to point to you tonight. It was for you. You mean he loves me? Yeah, he loves you. They said, I heard a story once, said this preacher stopped in this coffee shop one night, and he says around 4 o'clock, he'd been out preaching, he said he stopped to get him a cup of coffee. And he said he walked in, and as he walked in, he said, he walked up to the guy, and he said, can I get a cup of coffee? He said, yeah. He said, I'll get you a cup of coffee. He said, the guy looked all, looked greasy, the shop did, and looked pretty nasty. He's like, I was afraid for him to get me a cup of coffee. As nasty it was, he said, but I wanted a cup of coffee. And he said, I'll get you a cup of coffee. And he said, all right, give me a cup of coffee. And he said, all of a sudden, he said, as he sat there, he said, he looked and he heard somebody come in the back door. And he said, there's three women came through the back door. And he said, by the looks of them, he said, I knew what kind of women they were. He said, they were harlots. And they were prostitutes. And he said, I knew what kind of women they were. He said, but I was listening to their conversation. And one of them said, which was named Agnes, she said, Agnes told the other girl, said, tomorrow's my birthday. She said, do you think we care about your birthday, Agnes? And she said, well, I didn't expect you to buy me a cake or nothing. She said, I've never had a birthday cake. I was just letting you know, tomorrow's my birthday. And the preacher had stopped there, and he, after they walked out and left, the women left. He looked at the guy that brought him the coffee and said, hey, let me ask you something. Do they come in here every night around this same time? He said, yeah, most of the time they come here about 3 or 4 o'clock. He said, well, what about tomorrow night? He said, I'll stick around town. What about tomorrow night? Let's get her a cake and have her a birthday party. He said, I'll bake the cake. He's like, oh, my goodness. He said, whatever, you bake the cake or whatever. He said, I'll bake the cake. So he baked the cake. He said, we'll try to keep this a secret. He said, but by the time, that evening, said they'd already told a bunch of people, the mother women had. And they came in, 10 or 12 women, through the back door, and they was waiting on Agnes to come in. And all of a sudden, Agnes comes through there, and they yell out, happy birthday! Hold it down. Tears start running down her face. And they said, Agnes, we got your birthday cake here. Come blow out the candles. And she said, ain't nobody ever bought me a birthday cake. And she grabbed the cake and walked out. She didn't know what to think. And the preacher turned around and said, let's pray for Agnes. And the guy said, you never told me you was a preacher. He said, what kind of preacher are you? He said, I didn't know what to say. He said, well, I'm the kind of preacher that in the middle of the night that would see somebody in such disarray, I'd have a birthday party for a harlot in the middle of the night to show her the love of God. Oh, the love of God. I was undone. Oh, yes, he loves me. Oh, yes, he loves you. You say, I'm far away from him. I don't know which way to turn. I don't know. Have you ever questioned God's love? I don't know if he loves me or not. But I'm here to tell you he loves you. I'm here to tell you tonight that God still loves the world. I heard the statistic that somebody said that 80%, if they said, of the people that Jesus died for are living right now. Meaning there's more people living right now than they ever have been. And 80% of them are the ones he died for. That's living right now. I don't know how real that statistic is, but I don't know about you. If they're the ones he died for, they're the ones I want to dedicate my life for. To reach. We must reach them. Hey, we've done all kinds of things to try to reach men. We've had all kinds of bus promotions. We've had Kite Sunday. You remember that? Wind bicycles. Me and my wife, we used to get them. We had pizza parties. We've tried everything in the world to try to get people to come to church. Matter of fact, we went and visited one time trying to get them to come to church, and another church was there, and they said, come on over to our church. We'll have a pool party. And I thought, my goodness. We can't compete with a pool party. So that's what they done. They pulled the pool party. And we never got them. But how are you going to reach men? I tell you how to reach men. With the message. The message of love. I've seen men get behind a pulpit and do weird things. I mean, they've yelled and screamed and hollered at congregations trying to get them to come pray. That ain't going to work. I've heard them get up and say, you stinking idiot, stinking devil, won't you pray? I'm not, if I was sitting back and you call me a stinking devil, I'm not going to pray. I've seen it. I've seen strange things. That's what the Bible says. We've seen strange things. I've seen strange things. But when I point them and tell them, say, he was wounded for me, when I start realizing inside my heart, Brother Jake, that he was wounded for me, and I can tell him what love, that he, oh, how he loved me. Jesus loves me. This I know. How'd I know? For the Bible tells me so. How do I know the love of God? It's written in His Word. Look, it's in there. Right in the Word of God. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son to whosoever, red, yellow, black, or white, Hispanic, Indian, African, Asian, the rest, whomsoever will. He said to go out and compel them.
What do you got to compel them with?
You got the Word of God. You got the love of God in your heart that's shed abroad in your heart. You've got your birth certificate.
And you show them, hey, I'm a child of God.
I'm saved. I was once in a prison house. I was once in darkness, but the light of God shined inside my heart. No longer am I a prisoner, but I'm free. Free indeed, whom the Son sets free. John Martin, free what? It were? Indeed. Indeed. Truly. No doubt about it. Are you free? Are you free indeed? Has your name been written down in glory?
Can you sing a song? It is mine, mine, blessed be His name, mine through all eternity.
Are you a child of God? Are you a child of God? Anybody else a child of God? A little bit better. May keep asking it until I get full response. But I'm glad I know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, His love. Brother Charlie Bowman, like I said, we tried all kinds of things to get them in. I ain't much of a fisherman. And I just can't stand to wait and sit there and nothing come on the hook. He said that He'll make us fishers of men. And if I'm going to fish for men, I've got to have something that men are looking for. Something that will appeal to them. something that will cause their heart to realize, hey, I need that. I mean, if I was a salesman, Brother John, I came to your house and I was selling you a rainbow vacuum cleaner, I'd better believe in rainbow vacuum cleaners. I'd better have my act together if I'm going to sell you one. Or I'm going to leave, and you're just going to tell me, say, that thing don't work. But I believe what I'm telling you tonight, because it's been proven. It's not a hoax. It's not a gimmick. It's not a sham. He still saves men. He still delivers men. He still heals broken hearts. He still puts families back together. Amen. He heals homes. Amen. The song, he's a chain breaker. He still breaks chains. He is my Savior. And that's what I offer them. I offer them the key to their condition. If they're bound, there's only one key to their condition, Brother Aaron Gilpin. Show them the love of God. The church world has offered this world every gimmick except the love of God. They've offered everything. But oh, if we can just realize our inheritance. Maybe this is just for me tonight. Maybe I'm just preaching to myself. Most of them I do. Brother Kirk, you could come to the end. Who hath believed our report? He's told me I've got a bad habit. He was trying to hook me up with something I didn't want to be hooked up with. I don't like the lapel. I feel like I'm chained up. I like free indeed. Surely, he is despised, rejected of men, a man of sorrows. Who? Our Savior. My Master hath paid a price. Do you know? The preacher got up and preached a message similar to what I preached tonight. Heard an illustration. He said he got up and he preached about the love of God. And he preached and told them all how God loved them and told them all about how God loved him. And there was no response. And he said a few minutes later, said a little boy was out playing in the road and next to the road and said his dog ran out in the road and got ran over. Killed his dog. The little boy came in crying about his dog and the whole church began to cry and wail. Because his little dog. But yet they couldn't weep over the Master and his love. Doesn't make any sense. I'm glad he loves me. I'm glad for the love of God. And he was wounded for me. When I think of Calvary now, I don't see it just as just an emblem. But the emblem of God's love for mankind. Can we all stand? Greater love hath no man. Nobody loves you like this. Mama don't love you like this. Brother Aaron, your mama loves you, but she don't love you the way the Lord loves you. Daddy don't love you like this, Josiah. I love you, but not like he loves you. He's willing to lay his life down for us. And he paid the price. And he walks beside us. And he whispers in our ear. And he encourages us. He walks with me. And talks with me along life's narrow way. Could we raise our hand and just magnify Him? Thank You, Lord, for Your love. Remind me, Lord. Help me stay reminded how much You love me, Lord. Sometimes I forget, God. Sometimes I forget, oh God, the price that was paid. Sometimes I forget, God, that You gave Your only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. Cloud, I don't have to perish. I don't have to go to hell. He had the keys of death, hell, and the grave. He not only was He crucified, but He came out victorious. I could tell you about Him being in the grave and them putting rolling a stone there. But I'm glad it ain't over there, Brother Charlie. I'm glad that ain't the end of the story. If that was it, if we had hope in this world alone, we're all men most miserable. If he was in that tomb still tonight, we'd be without hope. He's not longer in the tomb, but He is risen. And He's sitting at the right hand of God, making intercession. That's why I can wake up in the middle of the night if I'm sick and I can say, Lord, I need You. And He's not miles away. He's a whisper away.